The Brethren of Chaos Podcast.
Welcome to the next episode of the Brethren of Chaos Podcast. 49?
49?
I think.
Yeah, that's a lot of episodes at this point, isn't it?
Is it too many?
No. You know, considering, like, started this when?
Over a year ago, was it? Over a year.
So, really, when you think about it, 50s.
Well, how many weeks is there in a year? 52.
Yeah.
So we're nearly up to, like, one a week for a year.
Yeah, that's good. That's what we aimed for.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And you kept it going when I fucked off. You know what I mean?
That's it, I guess, yeah.
You smashed it. Got some guests, everything. You kept it going. You're holding down the pod.
Holding the fort.
Holding down the fort.
So, anybody listening, check out the socials. Instagram. That's it, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
I keep saying I'm making a Facebook, but...
Oh, check out the last episode we did with Earl Raff.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, did you? It is a good listen.
I listened to it about 10 minutes. I need to go back and listen to it. Earl said he got, as soon as he got sent it over, he just battered it out straight away and listened to it.
Binge listened to it.
Yeah.
It is funny.
Yeah, it is a funny one. Part one, though.
Of who knows how many.
What he kept saying to me, he was like, oh, I could have gone for ages, and I was dying by 2 hours.
You were done.
You heard me on the pod slowly become like,
you were logging off.
I was logging off. I think 2 hours is a cut-off point for everyone.
I think you got to think about the listeners as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. No one's listening to a four-hour pod. Do you know what I mean? Fuck that. I don't even listen to a four-hour pod or anything like that.
So to you... could fall asleep to it, going into the deep in the subconscious.
Oh, yeah.
Just talking about shit.
Yeah. I think 30 minutes is like... 30 minutes is definitely like too short.
Yeah.
An hour is the sweet point, which you want.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours is a longer form of a podcast.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I used to listen to wrestling podcasts that would go on for 3 hours, and like four of them.
Would you fast forward?
No, not fast forward, but four of them. Four podcasts.
Oh, I see. Oh, four of them.
Yeah, four of them.
In a row?
Not in a row, but like throughout the week.
Throughout the week. Wow.
Yeah,
that's some decent hours, that.
I know. Well, we did our podcast, my wrestling podcast, for about fucking... We got to 180 episodes, something like that.
No, that's big numbers, that.
Yeah.
That was big.
That was heavy. Yeah.
Large numbers there.
Yeah.
Maybe this could get to that. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you reckon?
Who says we can't?
I think somebody should listen to this and fast forward. And you know, like I said, just...
Oh, yeah. Just stick 1.5.
Yeah, 1.5.
Yeah.
What our voices are like.
That's what people do with audiobooks and stuff like that. They tell you. Yeah.
Get through it. I did watch the last season of... what's the fucking... Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even seen the third season, but it's the fourth season. I watched that in fast forward.
You watched a TV show in fast forward?
Yeah, the whole
season.
That's
insane.
Because I just couldn't be bothered, because I hadn't seen the third one.
Yeah,
so
I couldn't
be bothered, like, committing to it properly.
To the third one.
And then I watched a bit of it in fast forward, the fourth one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll just fucking carry on, just binge watching.
How do you do it in fast forward? Is there, like, a toggle or something on your remote?
You leave it.
Oh.
You can, like, leave it on.
I didn't know you could do that.
What is it, 1.5 or something?
Oh, can you do? Is that on Netflix?
Yes. And you just left it, and you just watched it. I did pause it on all the Eddie bits.
Oh, Eddie was sick.
That was the reason why I was watching it.
Because of Eddie?
Yeah.
Well, I remember the one I first watched that, and it came up with like his intro, and it was the Cramps, Human Fly or something like that. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, proper going for it in my bedroom.
He is a good character, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's just a standard Dungeons and Dragons fucking gay boy.
Standard D&D nerd.
Yeah, standard D&D nerd. I know a lot of them.
Too many of them.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
On the socials. Get on the socials.
Mm-hmm.
The YouTube. The episodes on YouTube are about three or four episodes behind what's been released.
People aren't listening. I mean, it's not really too much of a...
Yeah, it's just pick and choose, isn't it, really?
I think... You could even sack it off until you get YouTube video, until we start doing the videos.
Put them on.
Yeah. If you can't be out, because uploading it to YouTube is not... It's like, once you click the button on the Spotify uploader thing, sends it to everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, Yeah.
We are getting quite a lot of listens on YouTube now, though.
Are we?
Past few has been ramped up a lot.
Oh, shit. Oh, maybe
so I don't know what's going on.
Don't know. Oh, well. It is what it is.
Yeah, there's no pressure. There's no danger for anything.
What have you been up to this week, Steve?
Oh, I went to a death metal concert on Friday.
I saw on your story.
Cannibal Corpse.
I mean, yeah, I was going through and I was like, where's Steve? Cannibal Corpse? I was like, sounds about right for Steve.
Some brutal stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I did say on Earl's podcast, like, I'm into music. I listen to anything.
Yes, yes, yes.
But for some reason, I can only watch live death metal.
Yeah, you did mention that.
I'm not about like heavy metal or like normal metal, but like
death metal.
Like extreme metal is the only thing I can watch live music. I don't know why.
How come? Just no reason? Have you been to any others? Like, then it's just not hit the right spot.
Yeah, yeah. It just doesn't seem to draw me in.
Okay.
Like I don't know. It must be I think it's everything from the technicality of playing it, the technical side of playing it, and watching them play it.
That's interesting.
And then all the mosh pits.
Oh, like, yeah. Full did you get in the mosh pit?
Oh, I was in the mosh pit.
Do
you?
Oh, I love a good
mosh
pit.
I was in for
pit.
An hour straight.
Was you?
I was like, fucking hell, I'm
fuck,
done.
Man.
But I had DOMS the day after.
Really?
Yeah. Fucking bounce around, pushing into people.
Shit.
Feel it in my arms. I was like, fucking hell.
Oh, there's nothing. I love a good mosh.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Is that your best mosh? Or when's your... if you're listing all your best moshes, what's the
I think that one.
That one was the best one?
Yeah, yeah. It was brutal.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I did. It was... Oh, we got, I don't know if we should say, I don't know if I could say it on the podcast. Maybe I'll try and say it without getting anybody in trouble.
Steve killed a child.
In the pit.
Yeah, 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 in the pit.
Brought it to the pit.
Yeah, 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 he's under investigation now. So, just thought, I'm sorry, Steve, I had to put it out there.
You had to tell the listeners.
Yeah, yeah,
they have to know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you can mention it after.
Oh, no, I think I can mention it.
Yeah.
So, basically, me and Matt.
Yeah,
who got I go to gigs with Matt.
Yeah,
people know Matt from Blind Wave, play the music with. He's on most of my vlogs. But so basically, we're going to Cannibal Corpse, and in the day, he got sold out, and we didn't have tickets.
Oh shit!
And we weren't buying tickets because last time we seen Cannibal Corpse,
yeah,
they were in was the Ritz. They're in somewhere else, a smaller venue with a bigger support band, and they didn't get sold out. So we were thinking, right? So they've gone to a bigger venue. And they've got a smaller support band. Surely there couldn't be more people going. You know, to have a sellout, but for some reason, it sold out.
I'm like, wow.
Oh, fucking hell. So then, Matt, he knows loads of ticket touts because he goes so many gigs. He's got, like, ticket touts on speed dial to sort him out. So he rang one of his mates, and he was like, I'm at Michael Bublé tonight. I can't help
you.
Oh,
my God. I was like, oh. What an odd concert. Yeah.
I was like, I don't fancy going that. We could be going Cannibal Corpse. I don't want to go Michael Bublé.
Fair play.
But he got on to one of his mates, and he rang us, and we met him outside. And basically smuggled us in.
You're joking.
Yeah.
Into where was it? Where was it?
I won't say the venue. I don't want anybody.
What was it? Was it? What? Where was it? In Liverpool or
in Manchester?
I think I might know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want any doormen getting in trouble.
I saw some of the videos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, some I know. That's cool though.
Yeah. Yeah. Smuggled
in. Through in the back. High vis.
We paid. It was literally like a smuggling as well.
Really?
Like passed through everybody, heads down, you know, like
shit.
Down the side.
That's so cool.
It felt pretty good. And thing is, everyone who's lining up for the who had the tickets normally.
Yeah, yeah.
They were lining up and the queue was fucking massive.
Was it?
Like at least an hour wait for everybody. And I was thinking we didn't even pay double the price to get smuggled in. And I was like, I'm happy to pay that to not line up in that queue.
I mean, yeah, 100%. It's like a fast pass.
Yeah.
But for fucking...
Yeah.
For that.
Straight in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a brutal night, that.
Sick.
That was brutal. And then I got my brother to pick me up.
Yeah.
But his sat-nav broke.
Oh.
So he was lost. We were lost in Manchester for ages trying to drive out. And then what made it even more weird was Matt wasn't going home. It was record store day. So he was going... So the night finished, Cannibal Corpse, went back to St. Helens and dropped Matt off at Kaleidoscope Records to line up for the whole night.
Oh, you're joking.
To get his records in the morning.
In town?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what the
fuck? What kind of records?
I'm not sure what he got. He got, I'm not sure, actually. I forgot. But it was quite a few varied ones that he had.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It was funny, that.
I mean, yeah, just dropping them off. Yeah, yeah. You go, stay all night.
I was talking to him for a while. There was another guy there, stood with him. This was about 3 a.m.
Mm.
It was just him and another guy in the line so far.
Mm.
I went talking to Paul from Tank across the road.
Oh, yeah.
We were watching everybody in the street.
You love what people watch, don't you?
It's fucking great, isn't it?
It's good. It's good. It's very fun, especially in St. Helens.
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
You can't do it in fucking, I don't know,
well,
you probably could do it in Aylesbury, but you can't do it in York or something like that. No. You know, not much is happening.
Well, tell the listeners about your experience in St. Helens.
You're
going getting food, and then what's the first thing
I was going getting food late at night, about 4 a.m. in St. Helens.
4 a.m.
Yeah. It wasn't for food. It was genuinely for a late night walk, drink. I fancied a McFlurry, but the McDonald's decided not to be open. And as we was walking into town, I just saw some guy get fully knocked out.
Fully knocked out.
Like, fully. And, like, the screaming and all the girls being like, James, stop. Stop it. And I'm just like, and then there's two guys behind him that's going, oh, that was sick, bruv. That was sick.
Nice dig.
And the guy's still just laying there.
Yeah. And, dreaming of all sorts.
So we're walking past, and the guy just gets up, and he's got his bloody nose, and he just runs off behind Imperial.
Cool.
Just fucking runs.
What
just runs
do?
Away.
To cry.
Probably to cry. I've been knocked out. So, yeah, that was my week.
Wow.
A bit different to yours.
Still brutal. Both had a brutal experience. Bit of violence.
Yeah. I had my third driving lesson today.
Oh, yes.
That was...
And you're alive, so you haven't...
You
haven't whipped it around a tree and...
Someone else isn't.
Family of four isn't.
A family of four isn't. I'm also under investigation. We're actually in a cell, me and Steve, right now, doing the pod. So, yeah.
This is actually an interview.
Yeah, this is an interview. So, yeah, we're a bit fucked. But no, that was... the guy that I'm with, he's funny. He's a proper Cockney fella.
Is he, yeah?
Yeah. Don't know what... He's up
like
here
a geezer.
He's a geezer, like, proper Cockney. Like, I'm Cockney, but he's Cockney. He sounds like Danny Dyer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when we're driving, and I'm fucking... I'm trying to get the older the clutch control and fucking brakes and shit like that.
Don't worry about that.
Well, yeah, it'll come.
It does. It just comes second nature after a while.
Well, I hope so, because fucking he's like, "Oi, mate, what are you doing? You fucking get off the brakes, mate." He's like, "Not mean. You're fucking on the brakes. You had to pull left. What's that car?" And I'm like, "Fucking hell, like,
what's going on here?"
I'm like, "Oh, I'm in the car with Danny Dyer teaching me how to drive, and I'm trying not to crash into this fucking set of kids here." So yeah, that's been a bit mental. But he's given me a free lesson Wednesday.
A free lesson?
Yeah.
How did you wangle that?
Well, he went to me.
Is that because you ran over somebody?
Yeah. That's when I'm released.
Yeah.
No, he said he's like someone else needs to like watch him do something in the back. So someone's testing him, and he's testing me.
Oh,
so
I
fucking, like, he's like, "Do you want to just fucking..." Probably because I'm the thickest, most stupid driver in the world. So he's probably thought, to get him.
He's probably got his mate coming now. Come and have a look at this guy.
Come and look at this knobhead. He thinks the windscreen wipers is the right turn. Knobhead, way.
Hey, fuck it. That's what I had on my Jimny out there, my car.
Because
It's Japanese. The thingios are opposite.
Yeah.
So when I was driving a courtesy car for a while last year, it's the opposite side.
Oh, shit.
So I was like fucking it up.
With the wind mirrors.
Yeah.
Fuck, I do it all the time.
And then I got back to my car, the Jimny, and was fucking that up because I got used to the other side.
Yeah, used to the other. Oh.
Fucking hell.
Well, I hope it will come second nature anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember being in the same position as you, thinking like, you know, the clutches and all that, like, fucking hell, how do you like...
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Literally.
But then it literally... When you're driving, don't think about it. Like, I don't think about it at all.
Really?
Just
second nature, like riding a bike.
Yeah. Somewhere in the brain, whatever the fucking...
Whatever the part of that fucking brain is.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
Yours is fried.
Yeah, along with all the other parts. I can just about walk, guys, at this point. So.
Yes, we've had an interesting weekend.
Yes.
My sleep's absolutely fucked up as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
How bad are we talking?
Like, sleeping, going to bed at 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to bed at 7.
Oh, God.
I've been watching Coachella.
Yeah.
Speaking of music.
Yeah.
Been watching Coachella, yeah.
I seen, didn't like some woman do it all in Arabic for the first time?
Fuck, I don't know.
I think some woman, it's like the first time woman's done a full set in Arabic.
You're joking.
Like, wow.
That's sick. I'll go back and look at it. I don't know about that.
Quran.
No, I was probably...
Tell her how to do some IEDs.
Yeah. Fucking alhamdulillah.
What were you watching?
What did I watch? Well, they did weekend one and weekend two. So I think that's the only festival in the world that does 2 weekends.
2 weekends.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm wrong about that.
So, like...
Glasgow does, and...
How long does Glasgow last?
About 6 days, but it's not like two weekends.
It doesn't hit two weekends.
No, it's 6 days. And Glasgow's a bit different. Like, you're there fucking fully camping. You're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's on drugs and you're full of mud and you haven't washed in 8 days. Like, but Coachella's all like, oh, we're going in Louis Vuitton, Gucci.
Yeah, it's that, isn't
turning
it?
Turning up for a day and then going home and then all the influence turn up. So they probably can do weekend too.
Yeah, I suppose you just fucking do it for a year.
Yeah.
Just have it permanent.
Yeah.
Everybody playing.
Yeah, that would actually make sense.
So, well, you've been watching that?
Yeah, so I was up anyway, to be fair. Like, I wasn't staying up just for that.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't anyone in particular I wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched Gorillaz.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like Gorillaz.
Yeah.
I've watched them in Manchester. I watched them again because they're always a good set. So I really wanted to watch Metro Boomin. I've told you about Metro Boomin before.
Metro Boomin.
He's a rap producer.
Yeah.
But like The Weeknd, P. Diddy.
Oh, sick. He's done everybody, like.
Yeah. He's done producing for basically most big rappers.
Yeah.
And so I watched that set. All the controversy happened with Frank Ocean. I don't know if you saw.
I did hear there was some controversy. What is it, though?
So Frank Ocean was headlining for Coachella.
Yeah.
It's the first time he was performing live, the first time in 6 years.
The first time? What, six years?
Yeah. Since he had that whole ordeal where he scammed his record label Def Jam out of millions of pounds.
So he smashed it.
We need to
talk about that at some point.
That's a really cool story, actually, how he done that. I think he broke his ankle or something, like,
yeah,
or fractured his ankle before the performance, and so they had this full ice skating ring for him and basically had to melt it down, change the whole performance. He couldn't
change like the set.
Yeah, he was late an hour, so the set was only 30 minutes. He only sung two songs.
Yeah,
people traveled the world to come and watch him.
What the fuck?
So, and then he got cancelled for the next weekend, and Fred Again, Skrillex, and Fortet just DJ'd, and I watched them this morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah. 6 a.m. Yeah.
6 a.m. So it wasn't many special. Blondie was on.
Oh, yeah.
I miss Blondie, but she's on at Glasgow, so I'm going to watch that.
You're going to see, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I've been doing. 7 a.m.
Yeah, I don't even know. I cannot tell you what I've been doing at night, why I'm staying up that late. Like, last night, what was I doing?
It goes by.
It just doesn't fly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The problem is I don't have any work to get up. Like, I've had a few work in the afternoon.
Yeah.
As soon as I don't have to get up in the morning, my sleep pattern just goes out the window.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm, like, so I haven't had to get up in the morning for, like, maybe 5 days.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just each day is just consistently going worse and worse and worse and worse. Oh, it's fucking...
Mate, I have not had to get up in the morning since November. So, like...
Living the vampire life?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's difficult to get in a routine when there's nothing to do when you wake up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, you
can
make stuff for you to do, but it's not the same.
You need something, like, really that you have to get up for, don't you?
That you have to get up for. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. I think...
Well, that's what I need. I need something to, like...
Oh, yeah.
I can't miss. I have to, like work or something like that.
Yeah.
If not, I'm just fucking...
Yeah.
I'm in bed.
I do like it, though. Don't get me wrong. I love a good laying and sleeping until, one. Like, if honestly, the only reason I feel, like, upset about it is because, like, I know I've got to, like, get my life sorted at some point and, like, get money and shit like that.
Yeah.
But actually, like, if money wasn't an object and I could just live the way I wanted... I would not give a shit waking up at 2 and going to sleep at 7 a.m.
That's weird. I feel similar. Like part of me is I could lie till 2.
Yeah.
Comfy, just like, oh. But then part of me is like, yeah, I need to fucking get out and do something.
Yeah.
You know what got me as well is it's been sunny sometimes. Mm. I mean, getting up and like thinking that I've like wasted the sun.
Oh, that's like horrible when you feel like you've wasted the sun, though, isn't it?
Yeah, like, oh, fuck, I could have been out all day today in the sun.
See, that's the thing. But then again, when it comes to summer, you are like waking up at six, aren't you?
You wake up early, yeah.
You wake up early because you're happy and you fucking want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in other countries, if you was in Australia or shit like that, you'd be fucking up at 6 a.m. and going jumping down the up. Beach.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, God. Don't talk about that.
Oh.
That's perfect.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal, really, wouldn't it? But I think that I've got a theory. Well, it's not really a theory. It just makes sense that, you know, when you're up in the day, your mind is like, do, 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 because everyone else is doing. And mm-hmm. So you're constantly doing stuff, and that's why you get more done.
Yeah.
But everyone tends to clock out, about 6 p.m., and that's when you don't do anything. So you just watch movies and fuck about and eat
nothing's
shit.
Going on.
Yeah. So, like... Yeah, nothing's going on. You can't really do much like around that time, can you? So
that does make sense. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is a weird one.
So
the episode today.
Yes.
What are you thinking, Charles?
Well, we was talking, wasn't we, about
we have a good setup, don't we?
Yeah.
Like we're thinking 1 week, have a fucking intense, heavy. Fred West, fucking the Great Fire of London.
History pod.
And then the next week, just no pressure. Just pick a one that we can just chat about, have a laugh, talk. No research.
Yeah. Because it is difficult. Shorter. It is difficult doing like a research each week.
Oh, it fucking takes it out of you.
Yeah, it fucking does. It does. But having that break in between or having someone else come and do the research.
Yeah, we'd be the Carl Pilkington.
Yeah. Then it makes it better. Of course, like even coming in and doing even the Corey Haim one back when, the first one, like doing all the notes for that, like that took up a lot of time too. And you've done notes too, so you understand what it feels like.
Yeah, you got to get it in your head. You're thinking, have I missed stuff?
Yeah.
Or, oh, this is interesting. What's about this?
Yeah, and you think you missed stuff, right?
So
today you said top three films, books, TVs and stuff. And I like that. And then I was like, but we could probably just do top threes on different separate episodes. We could talk about everything. I could just imagine us never getting to the next top three. But I particularly wanted to know about you, Steve, and your music history.
My music history.
Well, yeah, yours in particular. Obviously, we can talk about music, and because we do a lot on the pod, but we don't talk about why we love music, how it came into our lives, and particularly how it came into your life, because, you know, you even mentioned it then, going watching Cannibal Corpse.
Cannibal Corpse, yeah.
How you like to watch the technicality of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, people that don't know Steve, he's an amazing musician in many ways. I mean, on the guitar, like, we're not talking Wonderwall on the guitar. We're talking fucking levels here.
Just practiced. Just played a long time.
Well, that's the thing, like... Let's talk about how you got into it. Was it a generational thing?
Yeah.
Or did you pick it up when you was a baby? I went, guitar,
yeah,
guitar.
Start shredding.
Guitar, yeah, start shredding.
bit of Dragon Force.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking about it when you mentioned it. I did have a think about, and I think there's like a series of events. I knew my granddad played music, but then anybody next in the generation... wasn't into music.
No, dad.
Like, my dad, he played a little bit, but you wouldn't put him down as, like, a musician. You know, he knew Wonderwall.
Oh, okay.
You know, but he wouldn't, like...
The four chord master.
Yeah. So I don't think I had, like, anybody direct influence of music.
Mm.
And I was thinking, like, where did it come into? And I think the very first... time that I can remember where I was like, whoa, this is the real deal with music, is when I watched Tenacious D.
Fucking hell. I wasn't expecting that. Tenacious D.
I'm going to Google, when was Tenacious D? 2008?
Yeah, it must be early 2000s, yeah. Oh, is it 2010s?
Is it 2010s?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think
it must be early 2000s.
I think that was the first time where I was like, Wow, this is 2006.
Yeah,
the film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck me. So I would have been 10.
Yeah.
So I watched that at 10, and being like,
wow,
what are they playing here? What is this music? And what's like, because they talk about all the bands, don't they? And everything. Mm. I'm like, wow, this is
this is the shit.
There's something here.
Yeah.
And I do remember getting an acoustic guitar and trying to learn Tribute.
Mm.
You know the song Tribute?
I've not heard Tribute. I've not heard much of Tenacious D, to be honest.
Oh, you'd love them.
Should I listen?
They are great.
Okay.
They're like...
Is it Jack Black?
Yeah, Jack Black and his mate Kyle Gass. But they're not serious. It's all like jokers.
Oh, okay.
But the actual music side of it...
Is good.
Is amazing.
Really?
Like, people do rate them good, but I think they're still underrated.
Really?
On the songwriting... And the people they have playing, the music's like, oh, it's fucking great.
Oh, unreal.
But yeah, you'd like them, definitely.
I'll have a listen.
But I think that was, I remember getting an acoustic guitar. It must have been after that. And trying to learn Tribute.
Mm.
And I think then, so that's the first event that's kind of like sparked it off.
Yeah, you had, yeah.
And I haven't really got anybody still who's like pushing me into music or anything like that.
No.
But then... The second event, you like this?
Okay.
So I remember being on a beach in Spain somewhere.
Setting the scene.
When I was about 16, maybe 15 or 16.
Okay.
So by this time, I played like in bands in school and stuff.
Okay.
And it's like I'm into like the classic. You know the classic. You know what everybody's usually into at 15, where it's like stuff that's on fucking TV. Kerrang.
Oh, God, are you? Yeah. You were like, putting Kerrang on through the day.
You know, like, just like the generic classic stuff. Guns N' Roses, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The stuff that, yeah.
You know, like, there's like the generic level, isn't there?
You're playing Paradise City and Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah, yeah. That type of stuff. And then I remember, and I was in a band in high school. And like messing around with music. And I was going to this music classes, actually, in Rainford. Which was, it was like groups, like you'd come and learn a song with a load of group and play together for 2 hours.
That's cool.
That was good, actually, that. I feel like should more people should do stuff like that. It was like, it wasn't direct music lessons, it was just like you turn up.
You fucking learn.
Everybody would learn the song and play together.
That's sick.
But then, this moment, I remember, so I was on the beach, it's somewhere in Spain, about 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my dad was lying with earphones in, and I didn't have any earphones. And I was like, oh, I could listen to some music here. What are you listening to? What are you listening to? And he keeps pushing me away. I'm like, no, I'm trying to relax. Eventually, I pester him enough to give me earphones. And the only thing he had on this, like, fucking Walkman or something was The Doors.
Oh, my God.
And I remember being on the beat. And this is the first time I've, like, listened to The Doors.
Mm.
Probably heard, like, one or two of the songs. But the first time I was on the beach, the sun, I'm like, baking on me. I'm like half asleep, put The Doors in, and it just, you hit another level.
Mate, first time you listen to Doors, it's like...
Yeah, what the fuck
changes
is this?
Your life perspective, well, yeah. Doesn't it,
literally,
really?
Literally.
Oh my God. Remember the song? Do you remember like what the first song was like?
I think it was Riders on the Storm.
Oh.
How good of a song is that?
On the beach as well. Nice one, Dad.
Yeah, thank you.
Sick.
At first, he didn't even want me to listen to it. He kept on pushing you away.
Oh, no, you've got to show your kid that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, if you've not listened to The Doors and you're listening now, you haven't had a pinnacle music moment.
It's funny because I remember the first time I listened to The Doors.
Yes.
And I fell asleep too. Like, I fell asleep like halfway through the very best album.
Yeah.
And it just changed.
It's magical, isn't it?
It's mental, yeah.
There's something about it. It's timeless.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem to fit in with the time.
No.
Like, it does have the 60s sound.
Yeah.
But it feels it's transcended, like, time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it... I honestly think a big part of it is down to Ray Manzarek on the fucking keys, man. Like, that's... I don't hear that in other, like...
No.
Any other
it's
thing?
So unique, isn't it? What he's playing.
Yeah.
So one hand is playing the bass line.
And the
other hand's playing the melody.
Yeah.
I've tried. I'm actually in the process now of learning Rise on the Storm.
Really?
Because I've got an all right at piano keyboard.
Yeah.
Like I can play like Canon, you know, Canon in D and the Fur Release and all that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can play all that.
That's sick.
But the one thing I can't do is The Doors,
oh,
and it's because of that. Where one hand. is playing the bass line.
Yeah.
And the other's playing, like, shit, the song.
Yeah.
And that, like, what is it called? Where it's, like, two things doing separate stuff.
I know what you mean.
I just can't wrap my head.
Yeah, the brain's not left, right, yeah, left, right. Yeah.
It's such another level. And yeah, he does that, like, fucking easy, amazing. Yeah, yeah, like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
He makes that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he did that. And
Ray Manzarek.
Yeah, and then and Robbie Krieger, to be honest, doesn't they all don't, because they all get overshadowed by the aura of Jim
Morrison.
But which obviously has a big part in it, but people forget that Robbie Krieger wrote Break On Through.
Yeah.
And he was just fucking, I mean, the Spanish vibes on that guitar, like everything. You know what I mean?
That's it. He has a Spanish element to his playing,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. It's a mix unreal of, like,
Spanish and blues, his guitar playing.
So you got the combination of that, it shouldn't work, like, with Ray, and yeah, then it does. And then you've got the poetry coming out from, and then the fucking, just the way he is on stage, just John, and then, Jim, and then John on the fucking drums as well.
Yeah, go for it.
People don't talk about John Densmore enough either. I mean,
he's like a jazz drummer, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's jazz sounding.
He's fucking amazing, and he wrote a book not too long ago, and, like, you don't realise how much, like, each of the members have put in, because you always think of Jim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's pushed forward, isn't he?
Yeah.
The big one.
But it does make sense, though, because, I mean, the
his lyrics
him
as well. I some of them, I get goosebumps.
It's on a different level, isn't
yeah
it? Yeah.
I don't think there's much. Can you think of much, like, lyricists who have that similar,
that kind
what,
of,
what he,
what he,
you know,
right,
what
obtained,
he, what he, even what he, just literally what he writes about? There's something unique about it, isn't it? It's not just straight up, like, some artists just do, like, love songs or whatever. His is about, like, an ecstasy of, like, life. Fucking, it's like a religious experience.
Oh, yeah, it was on a, like, that whole kind of LA, you know, early 70s, late 60s vibe, where, you know, he studied in film school and he's probably got this next level of intelligence, and he's also, like, extremely spiritual and stuff like that. And,
yeah,
like, he's a fucking hippie. And I think it all combines into this, like, very unique type of person that was him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just you know, manifested in a way which, you know, it's funny because I've seen a lot of those type of people through the work that I've done. And I feel like now, if Jim was came back now and was alive now, he'd be just a contemporary artist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
he'd just
yeah
be creating mad shit because whatever's going on in his head. But yeah, compared to other people, I can't even think of anyone that has the same lyrics. It's not even lyrics, it's just poetry at
that's
the end
it. Well, that's what he classed himself at. He didn't class himself as, like, the singer of a band. No. He classed himself as a poet, and the Doors were a group of musicians who were accompanying accompanying his poetry with music.
Yeah,
that's what he, like,
unreal
viewed as.
Absolutely unreal. Yeah, there's no after the first time you listen to them,
that's it
changes yeah everything for you. and it's funny that he died so young, and
27
and that was it. And then
finitoed
after that, and you know, obviously he got sent away for public indecency, didn't he? just imagine if that didn't happen, we got another couple of albums, because those albums are all stellar, in my opinion,
start to finish,
all of them. Do you know what I mean?
I love LA Woman. That's the last album,
God,
isn't it?
Yeah,
the last song on the album's Rise on the Storm, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the last song they recorded, isn't it?
Yeah. Crazy to think about it, because that was getting into different depths while it was on the Storm.
Yeah.
Break On Through, it's more of a natural song. It's like, you know, it's
a bit rocky.
Yeah, a bit bluesy. But Riders on the Storm is different. You'd never heard a song like Riders on the Storm again.
It's got elements of, like, you couldn't put it in a genre. It's got elements of jazz.
Yeah.
It's got elements of, like, a bit of blues, a bit of, like, soft wee rock. I don't know what it is.
The production on it is sick as well. Like, I don't know who done the production on it.
The rain and everything.
The rain, you can hear it. You're just perfect with headphones on, you know what I mean?
It really paints a picture. When you listen to that, you immerse yourself into another, another dimension with that song.
Do you have a top five songs from The Doors?
From The Doors?
Mm.
Oh, God. Rise on the Storm.
Yes.
Number one. LA Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Number two. The End.
The End. Three. Oh, my God. That I forgot about that.
How mad is that of a song?
I mean,
that's a unique song. No chorus, no verse, nothing. It's just like it's an adventure.
And is it about fucking his
mum? Well, I think it was is it Nietzsche? It's about his philosophy on how the mother complex and the dad complex.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you hate your dad but you love your mum and stuff like that.
Shit.
But I think there's more stuff into it when you look at the lyrics. Yeah. It goes into that's an adventure though, that.
Off-worldly.
I think it's the way it's got that droning sound as well.
Mm.
That's what
it's perfect.
Drops you off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, LA Woman.
Rides on the Storm.
Rides on the Storm Woman.
The End.
The End.
Probably La America.
Oh, really? That's an off wild pick.
I love that. There's something about that vibe.
Yeah.
What? The Changeling.
Ooh.
I love how it starts on the album.
That's
with him making noises.
Yeah,
the very first seconds
yeah.
And then it kicks in.
That's unreal.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, there's tons, isn't there?
Yeah, there's People Are Strange.
Yeah, I think that'd be my top two.
That's got a very it's almost like a circus vibe, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the album is, isn't
is it?
The
yeah,
album
circus, the, yeah, circus
yeah,
freaks.
Yeah. Circus freaks on the cover, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just stellar. Everything that they do is stellar. So,
what about yours?
Oh, my top five.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it'd be similar to yours in a way. I think I'm looking at my Spotify here. Sorry
yeah,
for
get
people
the songs
because
up.
I want to make sure that I'm not giving.
Have you heard "When the Music's Over"?
When the music's over,
turn out the lights.
Turn out the number one for me is Crystal Ship.
Oh wow, that's quite with the piano.
Yeah,
Then
you slip onto unconsciousness.
Yeah. That's a slow one, that isn't it?
Yeah. Break 'em Through. I know it's a thingy, but that'll be second for me.
Me and Matt play that with our band. I mean, the pubs.
I know, I've seen it.
It's just...
It's amazing.
The energy you get from that song.
Unreal.
The riff. Dun, 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 dun.
People Are Strange. Moonlight Drive.
Oh, Moonlight Drive?
Yeah.
Oh.
Moonlight Drive. And then fifth can be literally anything. I'll just stick in... What's Been Down So Long. Because that
down
were,
so
goddamn long.
That's the LA Woman album, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They harnessed the blues in that album.
Yeah, 100%.
They went away from the first few albums was proper psychedelic, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then as they progressed on, they started sludging the blues into it as well.
Yeah, you could see the development of it throughout the albums. So... I can't believe that's your first experience with...
I think that was the changer. Up to then, I'm listening to generic Guns N' Roses, whatever's on Kerrang.
Yeah.
You know, just what everybody's listening to. And then I listen to The Doors, I'm like, what the fuck, there's something else here. I think that, as well, probably changed my outlook of view on, art.
Mm-hmm.
Not art as in, the bigger picture of art, you know, there's more out there than just this very generic, ordinary style, films or paintings or whatever. There's more out there.
Yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
stuff that's making you think differently and, you know, touching other elements that the normality of life doesn't touch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And The Doors was
opening to that type of world.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think from then on, I was constantly looking, searching
for new stuff.
For new stuff, different different bands playing different stuff, different genres. Mm. Right from that, I'm playing different stuff.
Mm.
Up until then, I'm just playing the rock stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing jazz, looking into the jazz. I think that was definitely the game changer.
Yeah.
The floodgates opened.
You went back into school and you started playing Riders on the Storm. You're like, what the fuck is this?
What's going on?
They're playing Paradise City. Four chords.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shit, man.
Yeah, I think that was the game changer.
Yeah.
And then...
So you're 16 at this point.
It was around
the
about
Doors,
then, yeah.
You've been playing in a little bit of bands.
Yeah.
How is your level on guitar at this point?
I think it was decent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I could play the rock stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think I was, like, into anything more.
Mm-hmm.
But what I remember, in terms of playing, how that progressed, was... I remember listening to you know all those like the fast guitar players. Mm. There's like Steve Vai, Paul Gilbert.
Yeah.
Who else is there? John Petrucci. Mm. All them lots. You know, like in the heavy metal, they're like ridiculously fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, how the fuck?
Did they do that?
What's going on here? And I didn't have the right guitar at the time. I was playing an SG, which Angus Young plays. You know, the red one.
Yeah.
That, like, I was playing that at the time. I was like, just because it's the next thick,
yeah.
It's like a baseball bat. It's basically made for like AC/DC riffs,
yeah,
chugging
yeah.
away some heavy riffs. It's not made for like fast fucking legato,
yeah,
fucking like trills of notes.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to get another guitar. So then I got Steve Vai's Gem, Ibanez Gem.
Mm.
It's like £900.
Fucking hell. How old was you at this point?
This is about, I'd say 16 or 17.
Yeah, yeah. Shit.
Maybe starting college.
Yeah.
Because that was the point when I got the Gem. Now, looking back, I realise you don't need any equipment. You could.
No.
I think you could go by on like the cheapest equipment for anything.
Really?
Even when I do my fishing now, I look back and like you could fucking have just a whip rod.
Shit.
Like I look back and I had like an Argos guitar.
Yeah.
Do it up a little bit, but like it's all bullshit. All this like fucking spend thousands on equipment and stuff.
Really?
Like, well, you get the basics
and
you're good enough. You can just deal with that. Well, and there's a lot of equipment in music that's like bullshit.
Really?
Like I bought that guitar. And I don't even use it now. That Ibanez Gem that I bought then.
Do you have a collection now?
Oh, I've got quite a few, yeah.
How many would you say you had?
I've got, so I've got me yellow Strat, black Yamaha.
Oh my God.
Me Ibanez Gem, me Jackson, that's the one I used with the tiger painted on it.
Yeah.
Jackson Fusion Pro. It's like dead rare from 91, that is.
That's sick.
And then we got that for like £200.
Really?
I was like, the guy said, I was like, why is that so cheap? And he was like, it's a Fusion Pro from 91. It's like rare as fuck. Why is that so cheap? And the guy was saying, nobody wants it because it's got a tiger painted on it. And I was like, that's the reason why I want it.
Yeah, because it's got the fucking tiger.
It's got a tiger painted on it. And then what else have I got? I've got the SG. I bought another Ibanez off Sam the last year. I've got like 6 or 7 guitars. And then like 2 acoustics. But I literally just use that Jackson, which it is a good guitar, but it's only £200.
Mm.
And I use that for everything now.
For all your gigs?
Yeah, if I was recording or any type of music, I use that.
How come? What's wrong? What's the difference with the jacks?
I think it's just, it's got a tiger painted on it.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. There you go.
I think once you get to a level, it's irrelevant what you're playing.
Mm.
You know, what type of guitar and what equipment. You can make it sound good yourself, what you play. There's no need to spend like fucking £3,000 on a guitar and buy like a £5,000 amp.
Mm.
And amps as well. Like, it's all simulated sound. It's all fucking turning knobs.
Mm.
There's enough, like, stuff you can add, you know, with guitar pedals and stuff on your computer to simulate any amp. Like, there's no... I don't know how to put it into words. Like, there's enough there that doesn't warrant you having to spend shitloads on this, like, high-end price amp. And if you're playing live, you can buy like a small fucking bedroom amp and just put it through the PA.
Oh, that's true.
You don't need to pay for this massive like, arena-sized amp to be loud enough or whatever.
Mm.
You fucking put it through the PA, it'll probably sound even better.
So when you go your gigs now, do you just carry around little bits?
I use the shittiest Spider 6 amp.
It's like, really?
You can buy it for like £40.
Oh my God.
And that does the job.
Yeah, that's
like,
great.
There's no need for like... And the sound probably is a bit bad. Not bad, but not as good as I like. But I don't think you need to be going up that much to improve your sound. Do you like in terms of price?
Well, what would be the difference between a £40 one and a £300 one?
Probably the name.
Really?
Probably that's what holds the most value in it.
It's kind of like clothes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But yeah, I bought the Ibanez Gem. just to start playing really fast stuff.
Mm.
And then I joined Jam Studios.
Oh, yeah. Jam Studios,
yeah, which is in St. Helens. Shout out to Jam Studios, which was sick. Everybody's there sick. And it was like, I was having the weekly lessons there. And that's what boosted my playing, I think.
Really? Did that take you to the next level then?
Yeah. I was like, you know, learning like the music theory and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then from there, like, I've just been getting into everything. You know, don't you? I just listen to everything. Everything up until... So I listen to, like big into my classical music.
Yeah.
The jazz. But now, I'd say the last 2 years, maybe the last year...
Mm-hmm.
I've only really been listening to now is hard classic rock.
Yeah.
Or like 80s metal.
I mean, it's great, isn't it? We were talking about it. Yeah, there's nothing better than that.
I can't get enough of that now.
It's great.
And I don't seem to be wanting to listen to other stuff. I feel like I've done like a full circle.
Yeah.
Like I've covered everything. I've listened to Frank Zappa. I've listened to all the classical stuff and everything. Yeah. And now I've gone back to listen to like Metallica, AC/DC, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
And that covers me now for like...
For ages.
Yeah, I'm just sorted listening to them. I'm happy to just listen to them now.
Well, you always come round at some point with new music.
Yeah.
And then there'll always be a point where you're like, oh, fuck me, I think I've hit a brick wall.
Yeah.
And then you realise you haven't. And there's way more music than you can even imagine.
Yeah, there's probably going to be another moment, isn't there? Where I hit like, oh shit, here we go again.
Oh shit, yeah, just some weird, like, fucking, I don't know, just some mad new jazz avant-garde fucking thing that you haven't heard before. Shit. And you're like, I want to get into that.
At the moment, though, it's like, all I want to listen to is a good guitar riff. Good, heavy, tasty, chunky guitar riff. Nice soloing over it.
I think when you get in, especially like if you're working out, fucking, there's nothing better than an 80s fucking
bit of Metallica blasting.
I love Wasp.
Oh yes, I
fucking smash Wasp out in the fucking gym, like, wah.
That is like proper gym music. That like 80s like thrash hard rock.
Yeah,
is power.
It's the shit.
It's raw power.
It's the shit. Yeah, imagine being in the 80s with that as well.
Oh fucking, like, I'd be jacked.
Do you think you'd be? Yeah. Do you think you'd be a jack person in the 80s, or would you listen to like the pop? Would you wear the what's it called, the big socks?
Oh, I know what you mean. Like the leggings socks and all that.
Would you be like Duran Duran, or would you be fucking hard rock?
At the moment, I'd be hard rock.
Yeah, I think
I'd be maybe hard rock. If you asked me like 3 or 4 years ago, I'd probably say Duran Duran. But now I'm just like.
But we like it all, don't we?
That's it. Yeah,
I don't think there is a genre, and I think from the first time that we met, there isn't a genre that we both don't dislike.
No.
Maybe country for me.
You don't like country?
Country for me is a bit... I mean, I can listen to Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
But that's about it with country.
Is it because it's boring?
It's a bit, like, it's a bit standard.
And
there's not much... I mean, then again, I haven't... There is many genres that I haven't taken a delve into, really, and... Like, even what you say about death metal, even metal, I haven't really delved into that much. And that's what I was going to ask you, is about the technicality. What draws you to death metal so much, even live, and the technicality in watching it?
Because it's so hard to play.
Yeah.
I think I'm just drawn to, like, how are they playing that? What are they playing? How is the guitarist doing those riffs?
Mm.
Just watching him, you know, seeing him on stage.
Yeah.
Literally that black and white. How are they doing it at that level?
That's insane.
But the... Like, I think with death metal is, like, you've got to be in the mood for it as well.
Okay. So you can't just listen to it alone when you go in bed at night?
No.
Definitely not.
I think you've got to be wired.
Wired in.
You've got to be fucking raging or fucking pumped up to listen to it. There's probably sometimes put death metal on, like, this is so fucking shit.
Okay.
But then there's other times, it's like, whoa, fucking hell, this is power.
Yeah.
I think I listen to music more as like, not like a background, but like it's just there.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
Like when I'm driving or I'm in the gym or it's like...
Do you ever still, I don't know, sit down one night and go, I'm going to listen to this?
Not really, not anymore. Yeah. I think that's where I've come back to just listening to like hard rock. And
because it can be in the background, you don't have to sit there and...
It provides a bit of mood for you to be like pumped up.
I think I need to get back into that myself, because I don't think there's anything better than sitting there, putting your headphones on and really focusing immersing yourself in the music. Yeah. Like, that's when you're really like, oh my God,
you hit
like a good
level.
Album. Oh,
solid album.
Yeah.
What have you got in? What have you got lined up that you want to listen to?
I want to listen
to immersion style.
Oh, immersion. I don't know about immersion, but I want to. There's many albums that I haven't listened to that I want to. Like Lauryn Hill, I want to listen to her album. She was part of one of my favorite rap groups of all time is the Fugees.
The Fugees.
They're amazing. And they're one of the rap groups, I could say, that didn't really amass to a level where it was like many albums or anything.
Yeah,
I only listened to that to one album, and that's The Score that they had. I think they had a couple more.
What, like when was this?
90s.
Like classic era.
Yeah.
Of rap.
Yeah. And like everything in the albums, like what I love about, people will find out that I'm a big rap guy. And what I love about those albums is like the preludes, the intros, the stuff in the middle of like where they have the skits.
Yeah.
I love the skits and stuff like that. And that album is full of it, really.
What is it called? The Score?
The Score.
The Score. Fugees, The Score.
Well, maybe we could listen to that. Yeah, dude. Maybe that could be one of the first. It's amazing.
It really is.
So Lauryn Hill is one of, the doo-wop. Which is an album that I want to listen to, but I've not sat down and really listened to an album. I think, do you know what? I would love to when I finally get my own place again, is to actually finally get the record collection.
Oh yeah,
and do that, because I think one night you'll just, if it's physically there, it's in your hands and you put it on, you'll focus on it more.
Yeah. There's something about it, isn't there? There's a thing to it
to put it on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's so many moments where I want to sit down and listen to it, but it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time to listen to it. But
to be honest, from the start of the episode, we're on about us staying up to like, what, 5, 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. People probably think that's just what we do.
To be fair, do you know what? It's funny. It is what I do, but I think it's become such like a pastime for me at this point. Music is so a part of my life. Like, even going back to like when I was in school, I was always the kid with the earphones dangling from my t-shirt. Like, you would not see me without my earphones. Yeah. At any point in time, I could have the access to music. And if I, like, for example, now, if I even have a walking distance of like 5 minutes to somewhere, I can't go without my earphones
anymore.
Putting
a song on.
I have to. I just have to. And that's been the way it's always been for me. And I think that's the way it'll always be. So even in the background, even in York, for example, I always had music on. I had it on in work constantly. People hated me because of it.
You're the music man.
And even on the, you know, I love, so I use Spotify for my music, but they do the Spotify Wrapped.
At the end
of the year.
Oh yeah, what was yours?
Oh, mate, so it's been going since 2016, and you can see, like, a change, difference. Yeah. But one thing that doesn't change is the minutes listened, and I'm always on, like, 100,000 minutes.
Yeah, it's on a ridiculous amount.
It's on a ridiculous amount, like, I've listened to, like, 4 months of music or something in the last God knows how long.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's such a big part of my life, but I think it just becomes such a background thing. But it was funny because I noticed that people don't do that, like, don't have their earphones dangling out of their thingy too much, or they walk without me. I can't even fathom it. I can't fathom that.
There is people who just aren't into music
that much.
The only music they probably listen to from the radio.
They just stick it on. It's not really, I can't imagine. It's such a big part of my life.
Yeah,
that it's
about, like, music's art, isn't it? It is an art.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You appreciate an art there, aren't you? There's some people who just don't like art, don't get art.
Well, yeah.
And it's just not, they just don't.
But that's the thing, I think.
It's part of the life.
I think music, you know, kind of transcends that a little bit because, you know, art is subjective to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And there is, but music, you can genuinely find, even if you, that you could be the snobbiest person ever that doesn't like music, you can still find a genre for them that
yeah, it's got to be
likes.
Something that connects to your
yeah,
soul.
I mean, it is. It's like it's weird how these chords and shit make you feel and like change your brain chemistry yeah. and everything like that. I've always wondered, like, apparently if you listen to like an hour of music a day, it boosts your serotonin levels and just shit like that. And I've always wanted to look into the effects of what music does on our brain. It is like a drug in many ways.
It is.
Because it affects...
Changes the brain chemistry.
Yeah. So I've always wanted to have a look into that, but...
Yeah, we need to get some wires hooked up to your head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And listen to... look at the, all the different colours when shit pops on. Death metal, yeah. Reggae. The shit switches, but...
Yeah, it's definitely an art. And I think... Like, do you play any instruments?
I played piano a little bit back in the day and I stopped. So, and I can't play it that well now.
Yeah.
Cause something I'd like to get back into. But
I think there's a way of listening. I think there's two ways of listening.
Mm.
There's one of listening with emotion.
Oh, this is what we talked about. I remember you because you said, this is what I was interested in. I listen to it based purely on emotion because I'm not a musician.
Yeah.
I know chords and I understand like the sometimes a little bit of the theory.
Yeah, yeah.
But not on your level. You listen to it in for a musician's
there is a way of listening to it like that as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which can be bad.
I can imagine,
it can
right?
ruin your experience.
So what is an example of music that sounds good to other people that maybe ruined your experience based on the musicianship of it? Maybe stuff with like fourth and I don't know, pop.
Yeah,
anything?
Oh, definitely pop.
Mm.
But I don't think we even need to go there with pop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's some stuff. I'm trying to think. I suppose there's one element which is a bit different to what you said there. But there's one element where it's you listen to it and you're analysing it that much you're not liking it, but you're not liking it. There's no like you're just analysing it.
Yeah.
Like, you can listen to Master of Puppets by Metallica, and you're listening to James Hetfield downpicking the whole song, and you're like,
how the fuck does he do that?
And then you've got Lars doing, like, simple drum beats.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does that work over thrash metal?
Yeah.
And then you listen to, like, what key is it in, where they go in, the bridge, you know, like, what they're actually playing.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the song, you're like, I've just analyze the song.
I haven't taken it in emotionally.
Yeah, I haven't taken it in emotionally.
That's interesting to think about, actually.
And that's definitely a thing that can happen there, yeah.
Does it ruin your experience sometimes?
Oh, I've happened loads
it's
of times.
It's what I was saying with film for me.
Yeah.
Like, it ruins my experience because I'm like...
You're saying, actually, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, fuck me, like, did they eat this morning, these actors? Where's the production? Where's that camera being? Like, where's the mics and all this shit?
I think it's good in a way, though. I think it's in a way it's expanding your experience.
Yeah.
Because you are looking at it on a deeper level, but you've got to be aware, haven't you, to not let it ruin your emotional taking it in just on the natural side as well.
Yeah. I think in a way, like you said, you've got to switch off when it comes to art.
Yeah.
Because if you analyse it too much and it ruins it, you know, it's not supposed to be logical, right?
Yes, well, it is supposed to be emotional.
Yeah.
That's what it is, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what you get and what you think from it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you go with it.
Well, that's why I think I never could be really a musician.
Yeah.
Because my thinking doesn't go that way. I'm not a creator like that. I'm just not. And maybe I'm being too hard, but I just always, I couldn't even fathom doing anything near what Jim did. Like, we're just making lyrics up that are so, like... Mine would be the nail on the head. Like, mine would be like, I am walking to work and I got to work and
I
sat down and worked. That would literally be, well, I'd be so literal.
Yeah, yeah, straight.
Yeah, I'd be so literal, like, that I couldn't be a musician. Like, I'm not on that level.
I think Jim Morrison's a bad example.
Yeah, maybe I'm trying to live up to
where
something.
Is he pulling any of that from?
But I don't know, even like Coldplay and the shit that they do, I mean, they can write some good shit as well, or I don't know.
I suppose, like, there's a lot of, you got to look at influence as well.
Yeah.
Like, I presume a lot of drugs influence Jim Morrison.
Oh, yeah. This is something that we're forgetting.
Whereas, like,
psychedelics,
probably Coldplay, you could probably write without drugs, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could definitely write.
Whereas Jim stuff's like
unreal.
How, where have you pulled some of that?
Well, maybe I need to take concepts, psychedelics, eh?
Blast your head off.
Mushrooms.
It's one of your five a day mushrooms, aren't they? That's what they say.
Maybe we should do that then. Yeah,
Jim Morrison.
Yeah. Let's see what comes out. Oh, we'll just get AI to do it.
That's it, yeah.
Mm. AI to write a Jim Morrison song.
Get the
song.
AI to take mushrooms.
Yeah.
Write a Jim Morrison
song. Oh, my God. We're on a different level, isn't it? Yeah, I think... I'm just going back to what you said about hitting a brick wall and like coming back around to what you like. I think I've hit that point now where I have come back to rap. Rap is always going to be the one that I come back to.
Yeah.
Like, I started out in terms of music, like, my mum used to listen to mad shit, like, because my mum is crazy, right? She's a punk, right? Like, through the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, she used to have like a fucking mohawk, shaved sides, tattoos all over her body, piercings. She looks a little bit more like a mum now. So she was listening to like Sex Pistols, The Clash, Meatloaf, all this shit, right?
Yeah, the full on stuff. The punk stuff. Real punk stuff.
Yeah. The good shit.
Yeah.
And then my dad would listen, like, I would go down to when I would visit my dad, he's a big traveller, my dad.
Mm.
So we'd have some mad shit from other countries.
He's listening to some other stuff that's out there.
To like I wrote, because he used to take me salsa lessons, right? And he used to just like, I'd be in bed there, wake up in the morning, 7 a.m, and he'd be blasting salsa music. Like, Hector, I never listened to Hector Lavoe before.
Hector Lavoe.
And and when my dad started showing me, I listened to that shit, like, religiously now. And I can't forget it. But he listened to, like, Madness and The Specials as well. Mm. And he used to bang out Ghost Town all the time. Nothing but a Ghost Town.
Oh, that's St. Helens now, that.
I know, yeah. It is.
That's a song, that.
So I can say, in a way, that my love for music came from the initial breeding from my family, my mum and dad.
Yeah, so you've got two different things coming together.
And then I think I found my own lane from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this iPod Nano, you see, for my birthday.
Do you remember the little ones? Yeah,
it was a little square, for people that don't know. And it was literally a play button, a fast forward, and a back button.
That's
and
it,
volume
yeah.
controls, and that's it. And you just plug in your aux headphones and clip it onto your bag for school.
It had a clip, didn't it?
It had a
literally
clip.
Literally had a clip.
Which is amazing, right? So I had that. And I used to use LimeWire.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember LimeWire?
Yeah.
So, like, you would literally be looking for, like, a song. You'd be looking for, oh, I don't know, Arctic Monkeys. And it would be, like, .avi.
Yeah.
Or something that isn't...
That cannot...
That's not a file. That's not an MP3. Yeah. Like, this is definitely a virus.
It's, like, 10 times bigger than what, like, a normal
Yeah, it's, like,
song
80 gigs. Yeah. You're like, I don't think Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor is that large.
Extended solo.
Yeah. So I used to... what was funny was one of my mum's girlfriends, she looked like Eminem and used to have an absolute fascination with Eminem. Right?
Yeah. Like the bleach blonde hair.
Bleach blonde hair. Yeah, like tank tops, everything. Wow. Fuck it. She used to be obsessed, so I'd be listening to, like, Clean Out Your Closet. And
I love that song. That's probably one of my favourite Eminem songs.
Really?
Like, yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Like, we go about the vibe. There's something about the vibe of that song.
Oh, mate. Stan as well.
Stan, yeah.
Fuck. That might be one of the best rap songs of all time,
ever.
Stan. Yeah.
Ever.
Marlene's gone. No, it's not Marlene. That's the new version. Sorry. It's, what is it? What does it go like? The Dido bit? Oh, shit.
I can picture the video, like, perfectly. And the actual singing.
I'm wondering why I got out of bed and all. So, I just, that whole thing... Is just it. So, yeah, basically Eminem was like my first. It sounds so very white, doesn't it? Was my jump into rap.
I think, like, Eminem does get a bit of hate from that angle.
Yeah.
You gotta think he was the real deal.
I mean, he has, yeah,
like, really good.
He had the best free album run of all time. Do you know what I mean? When he started off, the Slim Shady LP Encore, was it not Encore? The Slim LP 2? And then I can't remember the other one, but he had the best first free run album of all time.
What's the one when he's back, comes back?
Recovery.
Recovery.
Was it, yeah.
And the America one? This show?
No. Oh, no, not when he comes back. Recovery is when he comes back the second time.
Second time.
When he comes back, was it Encore? It might be Encore.
Is it Encore, yeah?
I think so. Oh, the Slim Shady show. I can't remember.
You know what? I think that is what I need to sit down and immerse myself into. His albums.
His albums. Well, let me just have a look on my Spotify quickly, because I need to get this first three album run up. Eminem.
You know what it is with rap as well? Is like you. There's something about the voice, isn't there?
Okay.
You've got to have a good voice, haven't you?
Well, yeah, you've got to. If you have a posh voice like me, you're not going to be able to rap, which is a bit wounding. but I think it was Slim Shady LP, Marshall Mathers LP,
yeah.
And then the Eminem show.
Oh, that's the one I was thinking of, the Eminem show. Yeah,
and then he went away for fucking ages and came back with Relapse, not Recovery. Relapse. It's funny. I have a story about Relapse. So if everyone remembers, it had the cover with all the pills that made his face.
I was obsessed
with it. Obsessed. It had cracked the bottle on and some mad other shit like on there that I was just I needed.
Which one's Clean That My Closet is on?
Oh, I'm not sure, you know.
Is that early?
Yeah, that'll probably be an early one.
Yeah.
It might be Encore.
Mm.
But,
So, Relapse.
Relapse, yeah. I went into Morrison's, and I must have been like 12 or something, and I picked up Relapse on the shelf, went to the till, and I was like, Relapse, please. And the guy just looked at me, looked down and up in my school uniform.
Yeah.
No chance, mate. I was like, fuck. I remember that year. This is literally me in year six. So this is primary school.
Yeah.
Blasting out on an MP3 player. This is before I got my iPod Nano. Blasting out Crack a Bottle. Crack a Bottle, Let Your Body Waddle.
Yeah.
And I just crack that out all the time. In year six? I shouldn't have been listening to that shit in year six. Him describing about, like, murdering his wife and shit like that. I shouldn't have been listening to that shit, but...
So that was, like, your start?
Yeah, I think after then, what I actually used to do was I used to go onto iTunes and look at the top albums of all time.
Mm.
And I would go, that looks cool, that looks cool, that looks cool, and I'd just download them.
Oh, I see. That's a good way of doing it, aren't you?
That's how I found rock.
Yeah?
That's how I... So, obviously, there's some that are on there that are on there all time that just never leave. So we're talking your Pink Floyds.
Rolling Stones.
The Beatles. We're talking Guns N' Roses again.
I get it, yeah.
So the ones that never leave, the iTunes charts are on there all the time, you know, like Dark Side of the Moon and shit like that. So I just downloaded these albums and it just completely changed. Because obviously rap was on there and that's all I used to listen to. And then when I started listening to fucking...
From rap to Pink Floyd is a big jump, isn't it?
Well, it's funny, like, I have to give my kudos to my mate Joel.
Yeah. Oh, you've told me he's big into his Pink Floyd, isn't he?
Oh, mate. Well, Joel for me was like my older brother in a sense.
Yeah.
That he introduced me to so much music. Like,
you're a music dealer.
He is a music dealer. Like, he used to go over the park with me, sit there, smoke weed, and listen to 2001.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre. And fucking just bang that out. And I was like, oh my God, what is this shit? And then he'd switch over to Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, God.
And we'd play Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
That album, the Wish You Were Here album,
is
outrageous.
Unreal.
Outrageous Unreal. Album. Shine You Crazy Diamond, part one and part two. Because it starts.
Yeah.
Like, the actual song itself is like, the album's in between it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Shine On You Crazy Diamond Part 1 starts the album.
Mm.
And then you've got the whole album.
Yeah.
And then Shine On You Crazy Diamond Part 2 finishes.
Unreal.
And you can listen to it together, can't you?
Yeah.
You can find it as just, like, the song together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or the album.
It's unreal. And then, hey, I listened to Hey You on that album.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I listen to that a million times, and still, every time I listen to it.
That era Pink Floyd is top drawer for me.
Yeah.
Metal, Animals.
Yeah. Oh.
It's outrageous.
I think they're just one of the bands that just... They must be the best band of all time, if you think about it, in terms of the music that they've done.
You know what's... Right? You know what's good as well? Like, I rate... It's going opposite to what I say about technicality.
Yeah.
I'm contradicting myself here.
Yeah.
But there's a few bands that who kept it simple, which made it better.
Right.
And I think Pink Floyd is definitely one. Like, they're not fucking doing 200 BPM solos and, like proper technical stuff. Mm. They're all the stuff you could learn in, like, 5 minutes to play.
Well, yeah.
It's all super. Another band as well, I think, is the essence of the band of is AC/DC.
Oh, classic.
It's just the straight-up rock beat. With, like, mate, three chords.
Back in Black. That's the first one I listened to. I was like, dun, 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 dun.
It just
and then that's
wakes
it.
You up, doesn't it?
And it's like, yeah. I think, I mean, you're right in terms of the chords. Like, it's just easy to learn, but it sounds good, right? So
That's, like, sometimes simple is better.
Yeah.
That's what I love about, like, the classic rock stuff.
Yeah. Well, Pink Floyd, it's all about immersion. If you was telling someone if they wanted immersion, then you go to Pink Floyd, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the gaps in the silence, I think, in between some of their music. It's like, not necessarily the silence, but you know what I mean?
In between the music.
Yeah, the music.
There's a lot of noise and stuff that's creating an atmosphere, drawing you in, taking you to different places.
Oh.
Well, they said, didn't they? Pink Floyd said, really? Our songs, they didn't want it going on iTunes or anything, didn't they?
I didn't know.
Because they didn't want their songs being released individually. They wanted it being released as
an album.
They said, like, you to fully, like, experience our music, you have to listen to, like, the album. You can't listen to just the song.
Yeah.
Because it's out of context with the album.
Well, let's talk about that, because I find the new way of listening to music very interesting.
Yeah.
Because I switched over to Spotify eventually when I stopped being a cheapskate when I was 19.
Mm.
And it changed my life.
Yeah.
Fully changed my life. It helped me discover new music. And that's when, for me, I went from knowing a little bit about music to becoming an actual music lover, like, where it's actually changing my life and, like,
diving into everything.
Yeah, like, that's when I found out about classical music and reggae and dub and everything, you know, covering all the genres, right? Like, if you listen to my top songs of 2016, 2017, 2018, it's all different genres.
I see.
It's all mad, and then it goes back to normal after that, where it's all back to rap and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But before then, it's all just me.
Chaos.
It's all different fucking music, right?
That's the way to be.
It's mental. But the one thing that does get missed with the new streaming platforms is the listening experience of listening to an album.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I listen to.
Yeah.
I don't listen to individual songs. If
well,
I
yeah,
to
you
music,
don't. You don't do that, do you? You have your CDs and stuff like that.
This is like a few years now. If I put music on, it's an album.
That's
I'm
amazing.
Not putting like the sixth song
of an album,
of an album on.
Yeah,
I'm putting the first song of the album.
Yeah,
and I'm listening to the whole album.
That's amazing.
Or if I haven't got time, just listen to like a quarter of the album, or whatever.
Do you ever
put the album on?
Do you ever get tempted to like join like one of those services, like an Apple Music or Spotify?
Yeah,
shit, like
every now and again, I sign up for Spotify.
Yeah,
and you know when I sign up again, I get the free trial.
Yeah.
I have all the free, and then it stops.
Yeah,
and then I delete it. And then, like, give it another year, and then sign up again and listen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But even then, I still listen to the album.
Yeah, all
I
the
always
way through
put the album.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
I never just go to like the the top songs or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Always listen to the album no matter what.
I think that's great. I think that's what you need to do, isn't it?
I think that's how music should be, I think.
Well,
like the artist made that album like that.
Well, to be that whole collection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's pop music where it's about the single, getting the, you know, the radio play for the single and all that shit. I think the album is where it's the true experience of the band.
Yeah, real music.
Yeah.
Well, have you seen now that the albums, because of streaming services, are becoming extremely long? Like, we're talking 25 songs long.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because if you have more songs, you get more plays, and then you get more money from the music.
So you want a long album so everybody's listening to all the
because
songs.
Because if you put in like a 9-song album, then you're not going to have as many plays as a 25-song album.
Yeah, it makes sense in a way.
But it ruins an album. Like the ones that were, you know, big culprits for it was the Migos, like the Three Man Rap Group.
The Migos.
And they used to do they're on their last album, I think they had 25 songs.
Fucking.
But they all sounded the fucking same.
Yeah, I get it.
Literally the same beat, everything.
They're just churning it out
Just churning the fucking shit out.
Yeah.
And it works, but It's changing the landscape of music.
Yeah, yeah, that's the best way of putting it. Mm. Changing the landscape of music. Mm. I suppose there is music, there is genres where albums isn't really a thing.
Yeah.
Like dub.
Dub is not on there, yeah.
Dub, or like, is no. reggae? I don't know.
There's... Super Ape is one of my favourite albums, though, on dub.
Yeah.
By the Upsetters. Oh, my God. Or the Fit by the Congo Fishermen, by the Congos.
That's just like solid.
But then, you're
classical
right.
Classical music as well.
Well, yeah, that's different because that's like the 1800s. Yeah. And, like, I don't think Fingy was thinking this nine song album. Like Debussy sitting there going, "Oh, I need something to accompany this fur release."
Need to mix it together
because they were doing. Oh, well, it's just like a symphony is an album.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? In a
you
way.
Know what I mean?
But the thing is with that, there's is all about the live music, isn't it? The performance.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
a way.
Yeah, no one's getting their fucking Walkman out in the 1800s going, yeah. Yo, bro, you listen to this new Beethoven.
Yeah, I'm a mercenary.
Here's the fifth. Dun, 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 dun. Yo, bro, that is amazing. Who's done this shit? Oh, it's this new kid on the block. He's called fucking Beethoven.
Yeah.
Like, no one's doing that. So, yeah, everything is obviously, you know, if you're in fucking Vienna. Is it Vienna?
Yeah.
Or Venice.
Venice.
No, Vienna. It's probably Vienna. But fucking, when they go in there and it's all about live music and
the show,
and the show and the performance because, you know, the show accompanies the fucking symphony.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's obviously changed over the years. But, like, one of my favourites is Swan Lake to listen to.
Yeah.
But that's a performance.
That's a visual, isn't it?
That's
as well?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I guess that is an album in a way.
What about classical music then?
Oh, classical music. Fuck, man. Ugh.
What are you saying?
Oh, that...
Ugh. I don't know that much people into classical music. I know a few. You're the most, I think, I know out of everybody into it.
I think it just... do you know what? I think everyone it does, it's just hard to listen to, like, naturally.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody thinks, like, when they're on the drive, oh, I'm going to stick fucking Requiem on. Mozart's Requiem. You know what I mean?
Well, my first channel... on the radio set, it's Classic FM.
Classic.
And every car I get, I tune Classic FM first onto the radio.
I love that. I love the intro. Doom, doom, doom. Classic FM.
Classic
FM.
I think it's good when you're in the... We always put... Me and Matt, after a gig, put classical music on.
Oh, it's
great.
You
know, to wind us down from, like, fucking shredding.
Yeah.
I fucking sat with everybody all night, just driving home.
Yeah, there's...
Some classical music really does get you, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's nothing better, really. I think even I would like to see it from a musician point of view because, you know, there's so much going on in an orchestra, right?
Yeah, oh, God. That's, you know, as well about, like, analysing music.
Oh.
I think with classical music, I think it's too much.
Probably.
I don't think you can properly analyse it.
No, you just got to, yeah. That's why
The only way you can listen to classical music is immerse yourself emotionally into it.
That's true. I think, my first run into it was in 2014-15, and I started listening to all the somewhat generic ones like Debussy and Mozart, Beethoven, and then you get into Shostakovich and, you know, different ones like that.
Yeah.
And I think that really helped broaden my music taste.
Yeah.
And I love it, man. I love it. My favourite one is Mozart's Requiem. That's just fucking mental.
Clockwork Orange?
Yeah,
that's what it reminds me of.
Well, yeah.
It's Beethoven, isn't it? Yeah, that you listen to on that.
But yeah, it's similar. Really dark, classical. But yeah, man.
Is that long?
Yeah.
Requiem?
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But I've seen that live twice.
Yeah.
I used to go to the Philharmonic quite a bit, and I've seen that. I've seen Shostakovich's 11th. I've seen Beethoven's 5th.
Oh, that's so good.
I've seen Mozart's 3rd. I've seen quite a few at this point, and you know they never fail to fucking
hit you, blast you.
Sometimes I'm not gonna lie. Like people are probably listening, going, oh, "Fuck off!" It's probably boring. It gets boring at points. Like if you go to a classical gig, get ready to yawn at some point because it fucking does. Especially from a piano concerto, like fucking, you just sit there and you go, "Fucking hell."
Well, the piano concertos I love for that reason.
Yeah.
Like, it does make you sleepy. It makes you, like...
Well, there, you don't want it, but when you're sitting there...
Yeah, you don't... you don't
and you're trying to stay awake. Perfect when you're in bed and lying down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Class. I love Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Oh, yeah, that's the shit.
Gustav Holst's
Yeah.
The Planets.
Yeah. The Planets is great, man.
That's it. Some parts in that really give you goosebump moments.
Unreal.
Franz Liszt, Fourth Symphony.
Yeah.
I love that. There's something dark about that one.
Yeah.
Karl Orff.
Yeah.
Carmina de Burana. You know what the funniest thing about that? If the people listening, they'll know Karl Orff's Carmina de Burana. I can't pronounce it. It's the famous dark.
Yeah.
Google it, listen
we
to
like
it.
The dark ones, aren't we?
But that was, he was a Nazi. And he wrote that when the Nazis were in power.
Oh my God.
And it really does, like, when you listen to that, you can imagine fucking Goebbels, Himmler, Hitler,
my God.
Round a table planning the demise of a race of people.
Really
dark stuff.
That's depressing.
Going to war. Like, you can picture that perfectly. Yeah.
Well, I think more people could listen to classical music. I mean, it's just... I don't know. It takes more time. It takes more listenership to do it. I think.
You can't just have 5 minutes.
No.
You've got to.
No. Once you delve into one, like you've got to
sit there.
And take it in. But oh my God! Even over the past year in York, you know, my landlord being a fucking classical musician, and her kids used to go to bed listening to fucking classical music.
Tasty dreams.
I know, right? And I couldn't, and I just, yeah, it's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. Yeah, I think that and reggae was the two, the dichotomy between the two is mad, but the two that really, really like...
Extremes there.
Yeah.
So the reggae.
Oh.
You're fucking big onto your reggae.
Yeah. Well, me and Joel used to go in to HMV, right? And... we used to spend hours by the speaker section blasting music, like blasting like Bob Marley and Barrington Levy.
Oh, yeah.
And shit like that.
Do you listen to Eka Mouse?
Eka Mouse.
I went to watch him.
Did you?
In Manchester. He was good. He had like a feud with Bob Marley.
Really?
I think Bob Marley, some roots recording feud.
Mm. Oh, my God.
He was funny, Eka Mouse.
I'll have to listen to
Barrington Levy is good.
Oh, yeah, Barrington Levy is fucking
who else
shit.
Is there?
Oh, my God. The Upsetters, I really like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Should prefer the list.
And you're just blasting it at HMV.
Yeah, just blasting it at HMV, man. Yeah,
get a load of this.
Yeah. So, like, and that, and like Run DMC, I remember, we used to blast out as well. Just like, it's tricky. Imagine us in the back, 15 years old. Just
that's funny that
Dida. Like, what the fuck was we thinking?
What's going on here?
But yeah, it's I mean, since then, it's like it's been a part of my life for fucking years. But
I think you should get back learning the piano.
Do you think so?
I think you should learn. Ooh,
would it ruin it for me though?
I don't think so. I think it'd take a bit of time.
Yeah,
I think it'd take a bit of time to you mean like ruining the experience for you?
Yeah.
Oh no, don't worry about that.
That takes a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think you should get back playing.
I think a lot of it was ego for me.
Yeah.
My friends I saw, like, with, you know, when you get to 15, 16, everyone starts picking up certain instruments and whatnot and joining a band. And, you know, I wanted to be a part of that.
Everybody has a little go, doesn't they?
Yeah, everyone has a go. Like, everyone wants to play Wonderwall at a fucking jam night. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I did like playing the piano, but a big part of it was, for me, I found that it was just going to be my ego. Like, oh, imagine if I could play this, if I found a piano somewhere and everyone would be looking, oh, he can play the piano.
Oh, he's playing that.
Yeah, whoa. And I feel like, oh, that's not what it's... That's no, not no. what I wanted it to be, so I stopped playing.
I see, yeah.
And, you know, maybe I just need to find maybe an instrument that does, maybe the sax.
Oh, that's a tough
one.
Be like the guy off oh, what's the vampire film? Oh, it's got fucking hell, the name's gone out of my head. Lost Boys.
Oh, the Lost Boys. The sax guy. Mate, Corey Feldman's doing gigs around America right now to about 5 people, right? And he's brung that fucking sax guy out to do it. It's on TikTok everywhere. It's mental.
Wait, what does he look? Did he look similar to what he was like in the film? The sax guy? Or is he a bit different?
Yeah, no, he looks exactly the same with the ponytail and the fucking, the vest, the leather vest.
It is a powerful instrument, the sax.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Get a wind instrument. Yeah, like a sax or clarinet, something like that. Did you like Squidward?
Oh, I could. Yeah. Clarinet.
Flute? Flute's all right.
Maybe. Start off like a 5-year-old with a flute.
Yeah.
With a Bob the Builder flute or something. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'd have to get my ego out the fucking way. I think a big part of the music for me was ego. Like, once I started listening to it, I was like, fucking hell. You know, ego comes into it.
I think, especially I've seen from the lives, like playing music and bands and stuff, ego's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think it helps as well.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Like, naming no names, there's 3 people who have an ego in music, but they're doing good because of, like, I know a few people who are doing good because they have that ego.
Yeah. Well, like, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You need that bravado.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
At some point.
Some showmanship.
Yeah. And that comes from ego. But I didn't want to do it for that. I didn't want to do it. Yeah. And you don't, and you especially, do not have an ego when it comes to music. You don't have a music, well, you don't have an ego at all, really, when it comes to certain things, right? But you're when it comes to music, you are just on another level, and you play it down all the time.
I don't know.
I think you do.
Yeah.
Because when we go into a jam night and Steve's there and fucking everybody else is like getting up on the jam night and fucking, I don't know, we've heard Sit Down, we've heard fucking Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
And then you don't know that you're there and you could do this, you could blow them out of the water with fucking everything. And then you could twat them.
Do both.
Which is amazing. They blow them out of the water with the fucking, with the guitar and then fucking twat the fuck out of them.
Leave them in the car park.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I think like playing music, I view it more like I don't have that drive to be famous in it.
Mm.
And that's why I was trying to get you to be my manager.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
Have, I don't
Steve
have...
was asking me to be his manager in the car the other week. I was like, I couldn't be your manager.
I think you'd be perfect.
Oh, man, thank you, but no way.
I just don't have the... Because, like my metal band, Reinhardt,
yeah,
like, we've released a few songs and stuff, but it's purely... There's no live music of it. It's all... Like, we haven't played live at all online to listen to. Like, I have no drive to play that live.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing, I just want to make that music and just give it to who wants to listen to it, and that's it.
That's the shit. I think that's great. Who needs to be famous to create music, right?
Yeah.
Do you really need millions of people to listen to your music to appreciate what you've done?
That's it, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Just give it to your mates.
If you appreciate your own music and your mates appreciate it, and that's enough for you, then why do you fucking need
what?
To be... Do you ever think? Do you ever picture yourself on fucking Coachella stage, fucking Glastonbury headliner, Stee or Reinhardt on the fucking headliner? Do you ever feel like, oh, that'd be sick?
I don't. I feel like it would be. It'd be good.
Mm.
Like, I was asking you to be my manager to play music because I was thinking, like, I do enjoy playing music though.
Mm.
You know, like the jam nights and playing with different people and just shredding and having a laugh.
Mm.
Like, I enjoy it from that side, and it's like, there's only so much people I'm playing music with now. Like, I'm enjoying it, but I can enjoy it more if there's more people, more gigs. Not from, like, the being famous side.
Yeah.
But being just purely just for having a laugh, that side.
Yeah.
You know, like, playing different music and shredding with different people.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably where my, at the moment, like, my drive is.
Yeah.
Not to be, not for the fame or anything.
No.
But it would be good, actually.
That's cool. That's just what you want to do, though. You want to play music with other people.
Just have a laugh. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think the meaning to life...
Have a laugh.
I think it is. I think it's when you get the giggles.
Yeah, you always say that you love the giggles.
When you get the giggles, what is better? Like, people listening now, think back to a time. It could be in your science class in school or whatever, when you had the... uncontrolled giggles.
Oh, mate, nothing better.
It's fucking nothing magical, better. Isn't it?
That's what you want.
I think that is the one of the things we should aspire to get.
Yeah.
Is get the giggles.
That's what we've defined life as. As that. Oh, my God.
there's some depth for you.
I know. There's some depth on the podcast for you.
Some silly depth there. Some nonsense depth.
How long have we done, by the way?
Done an hour and a half, eh?
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what do you think?
It's up to you.
I think that's a good way to end it, to be honest.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Unless you've got more to talk about.
I'm happy there.
Okay. Okay. I'm good.
So, I don't know. We've talked about music.
Yes.
Talked about...
We didn't list our favourite albums, did we? But I haven't got my list on my phone. I can't name off the top of my head right now.
No, it'd be too much thinking.
Yeah. I think I've got like 50 running around there right now. Yeah. So. Yeah.
No, this has been a good talk, this.
Yeah.
I like this setup.
Definitely. I think I like this setup too. I think it works well. And then the reason why, you know, ending the podcast, like it just a tiny bit shorter, then you have the 2 hour, two and a half hour big ones. And then you don't get burnt out too much.
That's it.
That's what you want.
No pressure.
Easy
load. Happy days.
Yeah.
The meaning to life is the giggles.
The giggles.
This was brought to you by Murdley Productions.